Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 74 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry.
And I am George Tripsis.
What's up, man?
What's up?
We're finally back from Comic Paloozas.
Yeah, I've had the con coma, and I have awoken from the con coma.
It took me a couple days to get over it.
Dude, I was out. I was literally sick.
Yeah, you were. The day after...
I was joking about being sick, and then I got sick.
That's right.
That's karma for you.
And the next day, we didn't have to go to work because Houston flooded.
Yeah. Which was... There were literally, like, coffins floating in the water.
Literally, there was. It was not a good...
I don't think that's something to joke about, but yeah, there was literally a coffin floating in the water.
Yeah.
And one of our good friends had his house flooded. I felt bad.
That's true. Yeah. It's not a good thing. But let's go on to happier subjects. We're here to introduce an amazing episode of the show today. It's just something I've...
Is this the one where talked to... What's-his-face from Megadeth?
No.
No?
That was episode number 170 of MSRcast, which came out on the Saturday.
Oh.
Last week.
Is it where I geek out over talking to Jeff Smith?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
Oh.
So, we had the privilege and the honor to have another podcasting panel on Sunday, like, what was it, about 11:30?
Yeah, it was, at noon? Or no, 11:30 noon, around
so
that time?
So, this is the third one that I've been involved with, and the first one that I've actually had both of my co-hosts next to me during it, which was nice. It was definitely very cool to have that.
I'm pretty sure it made it easy to talk to your co-hosts since they were there.
Pretty much. So, along with, you know, so it was myself, Dave, and George. So, who else do we have? We had Comical Podcast.
Yeah, they were in the audience.
No, they were on the panel.
Oh, we were talking about that panel. I thought we were talking about our panel.
No, we're talking about the podcasting panel.
Oh, that panel. Yeah, we did. He did show up. I forgot.
Where have you been?
Dude, my brain is still jumbled. I'm thinking a bajillion other things.
Apparently,
and then
man.
We also had the guitarist, Yanni.
John. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do. He showed up and he talked about it, and then you made a comment about the chick, and I said, oh, don't say nothing, and you asked my girlfriend to listen to the show, and I'm like, oh, I guess not, and then it was no big deal.
That's a totally different episode, dude.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I am so behind.
That was episode number 73, which just came out.
I'm behind then. I'm behind then.
You don't even listen to your own damn show.
I do, no, just not recently.
So we are talking about the podcasting panel we had with all the other great podcasts.
Oh, with the big long list of other guys.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know we were talking about that one.
I noticed.
I'm sorry. That just shows you we were that busy.
We were pretty busy. Let's talk about the panel now.
I had the privilege of sitting next or close to Ming Chen.
That's right. Don't jump the shark.
Sorry.
Because the Fonz was at Comic Palooza, so I said, yeah, whatever.
Hey.
So, of course, we had Comical Podcast. We had Justin and Miguel. They were really cool.
Do you have a list of these people? Because I don't even remember all the
I do remember.
Okay.
We had Brian from the Bri-Fi Podcast.
Yeah, he gave a really sweet opening speech about being there and being on the panel.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
We also had Chris and Steve from the Nerd Food Podcast.
Yeah, I remember those guys. They had matching shirts.
That's right. I was actually a little jealous of those shirts. They're pretty cool. We had Mark from the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Yeah.
And then we had extremely very special guests. We had Ming Chen and Michael Zapsik from I Sell Comics and AMC's Comic Book Men. Now, a little preface to the story. I contacted Ming. He was really into the podcasting program that I started for Comic Palooza this year, which...
You met them last year.
I did.
Yeah.
You know how many people they meet.
Yeah, of course.
So, but...
They remembered you, so
they
that's
did.
Good.
So, for Comic Palooza this year, I had a social media coordinator. One of the things I wanted to do was help support more podcasts. So, I created something called the Podcast Partnership Program. And we gave these guys, a space on the show floor, a table to actually go in there and podcast every day. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any other con has really done something like that. It's forward thinking.
It's too bad we couldn't get Kevin Smith to jump on there.
Hopefully one day we will get him. But I contacted Ming before the show, and I was like, hey, you know, we met last year, we've done interviews and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I started this program, and he was super into it. And I was like, hey, we're also going to have this panel on Sunday at 11:30, but would love for you to be on board. I didn't really hear anything back for a while. So I started promoting that he was going to be on it anyways. So
So you kind of like forced him to do it.
I guess so.
You forced his hand.
And then Friday morning, when I did my first interview with him on Friday, and I was like, oh, so, you know, I was like, the room number is this. He's like, oh, yeah, it's 11:30 on Sunday, right? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I'll be there. I'm like, great. And the next day when I was interviewing Zapsik in a little press conference we had, he's like, oh, yeah, I heard about the podcast panel. I'm going to be there. Is that cool? I was like, yeah, you can be there if you want.
They're attached to the hip anyway.
Exactly. It was really cool. Brian Johnson did not show up, but I don't think he even really... He was there at Comic Palooza, but he wasn't...
Like mentally
know.
There?
I don't know if he was... You know, it's weird.
But you got a chance to actually meet him, though, right?
I did. I finally got to meet him.
Was he cool, or...?
It was very, very brief moment.
He's like, yeah, sign your shit and go.
It was sort of like that. I'm not talking bad about
him. Not talking bad about him either, but he probably just doesn't enjoy the con stuff.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, because I am a huge fan of Tell Him Steve Dave, so maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he just party hardy the night before.
Maybe. I don't know. But Ming and Mike were still cool with me, so that's all that matters, I guess.
Yeah.
I know Brian's the metalhead of the group, though, so I really wanted to talk
about
metal. See,
you should have got him to talk about metal.
But I got him to sign my shit, and it just, I don't know. You know you can read people sometimes.
You felt it. He gave you the shoulder, basically.
A little bit. I was like, all right, cool. I can deal with that, dude. You're good.
You should have asked him if he's met any other metal people there.
It's true. I should have.
Actually, what's funny is that me and my girlfriend, we were walking past Jeff Smith's booth, and Ming Chen, Michael Zapsik, and Brian Johnson, they're all geeking out over one artist, and I couldn't tell because there was like a crowd starting to build around them.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, Brittany was asking me, like, hey, do you want to go talk to him? I mean, they kind of know you, and you're going to be on a panel with Ming Chen and this, so this is kind of like your way to talk to him. I was like... And they look a little busy. And I just kept on going.
Who are they with?
I couldn't remember. They were at like this... It looked like a table that was being cleared off for another artist.
Okay.
And it looked like they were buying some stuff and having it signed.
That's cool.
It was cool. It was kind of cool to see... It's cool to see celebrities outside their booth.
It's cool to see those guys like geek out on other people.
Yeah.
Because I really geeked out on some of the celebrities that were there this year. But we'll get to that in the next episode, really. Because
sure.
We have some interviews to play... on episode number 75, which will be recorded very soon, and then we're going to talk about our in-depth experience of the show.
The post-con.
There you go. There you go.
But about this panel, I really enjoyed it. It was really fun, and I greatly appreciated you inviting me, and I'm sure Dave would say the same thing.
Yeah, if he was here. Yeah. Dave's not here, man. So I have to give a big thanks, number one, to Craig Price, from Reality Check Podcast.
Oh, yeah, he was our moderator.
For moderating it for us, because with 11 people or so, with so many people on the panel, without somebody there moderating and sort of reeling it in, it could have gone to shit pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was good to... It kept it moving along, and he asked us really good questions.
Well, him being a podcaster himself, he was able to...
I'm sure that helps, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that helped to be able to have a panel full of podcasters to talk to, you know? it was actually really cool.
So, I thoroughly agree.
You'll probably see this after we release this episode, after we release the audio, I'm going to let some of the other podcasts involved release it too. So, because I want as many people to hear this panel as possible.
So this episode might resurface on other podcasts.
Well, the audio from the panel will.
Yeah,
I'll let everybody do their own intros and stuff.
Of course.
No, maybe prerequisite, I have to be on every intro.
Maybe you should write that in.
Maybe. That's right. If you want this audio, yeah.
We have video of it too, don't we?
I do have video of it. I haven't had a chance to finish editing yet.
Out of the thousands of hours of video that we got from that weekend.
Yeah. I do have to give special thanks to Justin from Comical Podcast, because he did help clean up the audio from the panel.
Oh, good.
So he... Because there were some errors that happened, so we wound up only recording. It was like...
It wouldn't be a podcast if there wasn't some errors.
That's right. We only actually recorded with one microphone, which was not the most optimal way to do it. It was like 11 people around three tables, but...
But we had microphones, too, attached to it, didn't we?
No, we just had one microphone, dude.
Did we really?
Yeah, one of them went out during the show.
Oh, that's no bueno. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep, that's what happened. But...
Also, I want to give a thanks to Fernando, who was the video operator.
That's right.
During the time. And he did a lot of work, good work for us.
So, yeah, we have the video that's going to be edited sometime soon.
Yeah, someone sometime will mention it somewhere along the show.
If you want to help out us here at Metal Geeks and Adventures of Geekery, and you want to offer your services as a full-time editor...
Or a PA. PA works, too.
PA if you need some credits or something, you know. Can't pay you, but I'll give you a nice hearty handshake.
Be your friend.
I'll be your friend.
And that's more than enough for me, Carrie.
Oh, all right. Will you edit it for me then?
I thought I was.
Oh, will you? I'll give you shit to edit.
I thought I have been editing.
No, I'll give you more shit to edit.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about that one.
Shame.
Let's go ahead and get into the episode and into the actual panel itself. And we'll be back next episode with a lot of, cool interviews and our post-con. And there's some movies that we wanted to talk about, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, in the meantime, you can find us all over the interwebs at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Search for Metal Geeks, where you can find Metal Geeks and MSRcast both together. And subscribe there and give us a 5-star review. Give us a review. You know, it helps build.
We don't want anything less than 5-star reviews.
We really don't, because it really does help people find the show on iTunes. It's the most important thing you guys can do as fans.
If we can come on that new and emerging podcast to listen to.
Well,
list.
I think we're past the new and
doesn't
emerging.
Matter. Doesn't matter. As long as we're on new the emerging.
If there was a new and improved section, maybe. I don't know. But you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Instagram. Thanks again to our man, Bill.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Facebook. Just look for Metal Geeks on all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? Metal Geeks all over somewhere?
Our other stations that we're being hosted by.
That's true. Nerdbong.com.
Was it Earth Station 1?
ESOpodcast.com. You can find us again at altness.com. And now you can find us streaming on Saturday nights on Lightning Radio.
Oh, cool. I did not know.
It's a big, long story, so we'll just say Lightning Radio now.
Lightning Radio.
Lightning Radio. Yeah, okay. We'll have links to everything in the show notes.
That's a lightning,
Of course, if you want to buy a Funko Pop or a really cool vinyl piece, you can go to...
VinylDead.com.
TheVinylDead.com.
That's right. And you can save money there, too.
I could save money?
Yeah.
How the hell
I know you like saving money.
I do.
Especially when it comes in increments of 10%.
How do I do that?
You just type in a special super secret code called Metal Geeks 10.
I'm glad you remember that code.
It's been a couple weeks. I'm glad I remember too.
Cool. So yeah, there's our sponsor. There's how to find us on all the interwebs.
Interwebs and Facey Space.
And I think that'll do it.
Let's get into the episode and let people hear us talk some more at Comicpalooza.
Well, thank you for coming. My name is Craig Price. I host a Reality Check with Craig Price, as well as a couple other podcasts that I produce, including one that's relevant here, Nerdy Bitches. NerdyBitches.com, all female. What does Sausage Festival do for us today? We got a great panel of folks, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves and their podcast, starting with the end. I want them to make finish.
Okay, I see how it is. I thought I would start
the bottom.
That's why I showed up late. Hi, guys. I'm Brian from the Bri-Fi Podcast. That's pretty much me.
We're Miguel and Justin from the Comical Podcast, a comedy show all about comics here in Houston. I also do a second show called the Just In Case Podcast, where I present unusual scenarios to people and then discuss the results every Tuesday morning.
Now I'm Miguel, by the way.
Podcast.
Hey.
I'm Steve.
Sully.
We're from Nerd Foo. We do a website where we talk about the latest and greatest in nerdy and geeky news, and we also do a podcast mostly every Wednesday.
Mostly.
Yeah.
My name is Kerry. I've been a podcaster for 10 years, and I think I have a problem. I have a heavy metal show called MSRcast, and I started Metal Geeks with these two gents. This is George and Dave.
I am Dave.
I'm George.
I'm Mark with the Rebel Radio Podcast, and we are also like nerd food guys down there. We're like a website too, and we have a second show called The Warp Cave, and fixing to launch a couple more shows this summer, and we're at trustmeimajedi.com.
Good morning, everybody.
everybody. My name is Ming Chen. I'm on Kevin Smith's Modcast Network. I have a podcast with Mike Zapsik over here called I Sell Comics. We also formed the Smodco Morning Show. There's the Secret Stash Companion podcast for comic book men. And what am I missing?
S&M with S&M
with Samantha
Q.
Quintus. And,
right. My name is Mike Zapsik. I do all those other things except for the S&M show. And I'm launching a new one with my wife, Julia Zapsik, called Dinner and a Podcast, where we have guests come in, I cook for them. And we discuss how well I cook. Because to be honest with you, podcasts are all about self-promotion, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
We'll be there next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we're available.
Bring food.
Well, as you can tell, we've got a wide range of topics and also expertise. We've got a lot of great people here. I definitely want to hear questions from you. So when you have a question, just put your hand up. I'm going to be running around. I'll stand next to you. You'll be next. But we'll start off real with a simple question. I deal with people who always ask me about how did you get into podcasting and how can you do a podcast. And I think technology seems to be the intimidating factor, but it's really not. Can you explain some of the simple things you can do to actually start a podcast? Because looking around, we got cameras and microphones and all this stuff. This is not necessary. Just do a podcast. This is luxury. This is a good, well-produced podcast.
Let's start with Bri-Fi because he does a real easy show.
I guess Justin's picking on me because I tried to do everything that I do without putting any money down. I started totally free. I had a Rock Band microphone that's a USB microphone, and I used to play Rock Band.
Yes. Yes.
And all I used was. Was it Audacity? That's what you can get free online, and just a laptop. That was it. And then the only free way that I could do it at the time was using a website called Bandcamp, and that's how I started. And then eventually I finally got enough money to save up, or now I'm on Podbean. So now I'm on iTunes and everything. So it might seem kind of weird, especially like me, I looked up to Mike and Ming, you know, because that's where I got my start. That's where I first heard, and I was like, hey, you know, these are people doing something that I kind of like and I want to do. And then at first I was like, well, how do I do this? Like, what do I have that I can do this? And one day I was just playing Guitar Hero and I looked down and I was like, hey, this is a USB. I wonder if this would work in my laptop. And then it did. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. I wonder how it sounds. And it doesn't sound bad. And then I was like, okay, well, how do I put this? And I found Audacity. And then I found a way to put it online. And I mean, it was super easy and it was cheap for me. And somehow these guys started liking me.
We met at a comic booth last year. Yeah.
And now I'm here, we're talking to y'all, which is kind of weird. It's kind of scary.
So I'll ask you, Corey, because you have three guys.
Carrie,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Carrie, you've got three.
Yes.
Because one, that's absolutely perfect. If you do it yourself, plug it in, go.
Yeah,
you got three. How do you handle three guys when you're just starting out?
That's very difficult, especially with this guy right here.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. I'm sorry.
I've had different co-hosts over the years. You know, people come and go, but this is the core group now. I have another co-host for the metal show who's not here. But talking about, you know, making it easy. When I first started podcasting in 2005, nobody even knew what it was. I just took I used to do a fanzine, like a written fanzine. I just tried to make that into an audio version of that, just an audio fanzine. Nobody knew what iTunes was back then, or a podcast, and you know, everybody thought you had to have iTunes to listen to a podcast. Now, I think in 2015, it's really reached another level. Everybody knows what a podcast is, and it's going to get even bigger, hopefully.
And then we make the evolution to you guys are in studio, or at least a comic shop, in comparison, but it's a comic book store that you have an area that you've dedicated to some degree.
Absolutely. Ming and I actually started out as a joke. Because we would, every once in a while, be on Tell 'em Steve Dave. If anyone is not familiar with Tell 'em Steve Dave, shame on you. All right.
That's
Brian
right.
Johnson, Walt Flanagan, and Brian, Impractical Jokers, Brian Quinn's. Podcast, and very popular. We would be on every once in a while, and Kevin left for Australia, I think it was?
Yes.
He went to Australia, and he was going to have his morning show free for a week or two, and Quinn and Johnson were doing it, and they're just like, screw it, we're not going to do this anymore. And Walt Flanagan's like, hey, let's have Mike and Ming do one. And he was kind of hoping we'd crash and burn. And you know, we did.
Like 300 episodes later.
Was yeah, exactly. We were, actually, I think our numbers were close to Kevin's. Actually, no, not close to Kevin's, but close enough to Brian Johnson's that he got pissed at us. So we and Kevin saw the numbers. He's like, you guys have a podcast now. So Ming's the technical guy. Me, I just come in and be nerdy and wise ashes.
Yeah, and the technology shouldn't be intimidating to you anymore.
Everything you need is right here.
I met the podcast, they literally record on this. There's a built-in voice recorder on every iPhone, and the microphone picks up amazingly well. And you know, if Brian Johnson, you've seen him on Outlook, man, it's so easy that even he can do it now. Like
he still screws stuff up, don't get us wrong. I mean, he still loses files and corrupts stuff, but for the most part, yeah, he can do it.
And you'll be surprised how well a pair of earbuds and that little microphone will sound for a podcast. You can record it directly in, but the little microphone for the buds work fantastic as well. So how did you guys settle on your format? Because I think that's another situation, because I think a lot of it starts off, like I listen to Mark Maron, so obviously I wanted to do a interview podcast, but you know, when you're just two guys talking to each other, is that something that you planned out ahead of time? Is that so? We'll get some comical podcast guys. Let's see, comical.
There's nobody on the owl show.
It's emphasized. I figured I'd go with the emphasis.
Well, basically, we wanted to do a comic book review show, and a lot of the other comic book shows that are out there do some comic book stuff, but it's primarily just the guys sitting around talking. We wanted to make our show very focused on comic books. So every week we read somewhere between 25 and 35 books, pick out our top three, discuss those, and then we usually have guests on. We have guests on from writers to artists to industry people, do interviews. Once those are done, we have a segment called Tell Me a Funny Story that we do on every single episode where, you know, we have whoever our guest is tell a funny story about anything. And then one of us also tells a funny story about everything so that our listeners can get to know us a little bit better and see some of the humorous things that happen in our lives. It allows us to interact with them and get some stuff, some personal stuff out there without taking away from the actual comic book discussion. And then we discuss all the movie, comics, and TV news at the end and close out the show. That's typically how an episode goes.
And does that ring true for a lot of you, that kind of format?
I think ours is we just sit around a table and talk about what we would talk about sitting around a table anyway.
We have a topic list, but that's just something to go by. We just have a conversation, basically, and just hang out and just press record, basically.
And then have arguments with me because I have stupid opinions, apparently.
I'm just no, that's true.
Oh, okay. That seems pretty obvious.
I'm the redheaded stepchild of the podcast is what it is.
But do you have, like, when you have an idea, like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on the podcast, that's what you're on the list?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we definitely try to make sure to hit all the topic lists.
And we have guests on every once in a while, and we'll do interviews and things, especially, like, you know, at Comic Blues and things like that. And we couldn't do it without this guy right here, Bill. He helps out a lot.
So, Bill.
Bill's awesome.
So, are there questions so far? Because I want you guys to be more involved than I am. So, if you had...
There are advantages or disadvantages to being on different platforms?
The advantages and disadvantages of platforms you're on. I know there's Stitcher, there's if you host yourself, there's other things, TuneIn, there's all kinds of different platforms.
I say try to be on everything. The more you can be, the more your name is out there, the better it's going to be for you. And I mean, there's never enough platforms for podcasting to be on.
And just making yourself easier to get a hold of and listen to.
If you're doing an independent show, I think initially it's incredibly important to be on iTunes, new and noteworthy.
Yeah.
And when you release your show, you want to have three of them to release consistently, week to week to week, to begin with, to make sure that you get put into that new and noteworthy category. You want to get everybody you know to write you a review, listen to the show, do everything you can to push yourself up there, because that'll get you a lot of promotion out of the gate. You can't do as much with Stitcher or SoundCloud. I know if you go with Podbean or one of those kind of things, you can pay to get promotion from them, which can definitely be helpful. SoundCloud, YouTube, that kind of stuff, it's kind of hit or miss. Like, you might get some push from them if you're really successful, but it's all word of mouth and hoping you get lucky.
In the community aspect of podcasts, especially here in Houston with all the great shows, it is a community thing.
Yeah,
everybody really brings everybody else up.
This is why we have so many people at the table today.
That's right.
Well, it's like, I email Justin and Carrie, and we learn from each other, and we just, you know, we talk to each other how to learn little tricks and to do better, and there's no competition at all. It's just community, like you said.
Yeah.
A year ago, we launched our show. I had no idea what I was doing. I kind of did like Brian. We were using a Rockman mic, and sitting around the computer, and we saved some money to buy some equipment. And, you know, we just mentor off each other and learn.
That's why one of the things I run, if you don't know, I do work for Comic Palooza, and one of the things I wanted to do was start this podcasting program, because podcasts, to me, especially for, you know, these kind of subjects, geeky stuff, do not get enough attention. And to have a convention behind, you know, podcasting, it was too important not to pass up.
Well, one of the names I see when I'm on my Twitter feed is the Nerd Foo Twitter handle.
Guilty.
Yeah. So how are you guys promoting? Because that's the hardest part, is getting the reviews and asking. Yes. And it's basically politely begging at the, during your show. Yeah. Please review. Please,
has to be.
Please like. 5 stars.
We'll give you something free, right?
Yeah. So how do you guys...
Right from the get-go, we knew we were going to have to bribe people. So we started working with local companies and some of the toy manufacturers like Funko, and trying to get in prize packs. And we incent people, listen to the podcast, answer a simple question with a word, and you might win this stuff. And people started listening, and they kept coming back for more. So,
and it's a testament, too. Yeah, people come for the giveaways, but we always say they stayed, luckily for us, and gratefully, they stayed for the news.
Well, for me.
But when you're just starting out, you may not have the connections with a Fungo. So how did you make, was that someone you knew before you started podcasting?
No,
so how do you convince them that, hey, this is worth your while? Because a lot of times it's just like radio. It's in some degree, you want to see numbers.
It was a struggle at first. We started small. We couldn't land the Fungos of the world. But, you know, we got a few people, actually some that have booths here, like SoGeek Austin, where they make handmade items. And they had the same passion for, like, Supernatural that we do. So we put that in a little prize pack, gave it away, and then all the Supernatural fans came over. And we slowly but surely worked our way through Doctor Who and Star Wars and anything else that we can find that has a big fandom, and we ride the coattails.
It might be you're on a network. You've created a network.
I thought you were going to say that we're riding coattails.
Nope.
No. We're riding your coattails.
Seriously, well, that's basically what we do. Is when we're podcasting, we're just talking. It's one geek talking to another geek, and basically that's. I'm gonna borrow Kevin's words because I can't
imagine
enough of that coattail riding. It's basically a podcast is a couple of guys just sitting around talking, or a couple of gals sitting around talking, and that's, you draw people into a conversation. That's what this is. We're Ming and I don't have a specific format. He is not just the tech guy, he's the brains behind the operation. He puts the bullet points out, and he tries to keep me on track. Me, I'm like a squirrel, shiny, I run over that way. It's just the way that my mind works. When I tell a story, I will meander until I get to my point. Sometimes I don't even get to the point, but part of the fun is the journey to get there, or not even to get there, but just the journey in itself. So we do ride coattails, so everyone should adopt that kind of attitude where, you know, holy crap, there's a huge Buffy base out there. I've never watched Buffy, boom, I'm going to, and you'll find what you like. And, you know, the really nice thing about being a podcaster is that we do all support each other. There's not a lot of competition right now. I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
Once someone figures out how to monetize podcasting, and it's coming, there will be fierce competition. But for now, I think that you know, water rises and we all flow.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing. The people who can't hack it, they'll go by the wayside. Kevin always says, you know, hey, everyone should have a podcast. It's not quite true. Everyone shouldn't have a podcast. We know who shouldn't be, or not everyone should listen to their podcast. You know, you find what you like and you stick with it. And, you know, our fans are loyal. We have a lot of really loyal fans. When Ming and I were just doing this morning show ourselves, it was just two dorks. It was actually sort of like I Sell Comics Light, and it was just us talking. But then we brought in a third. And Mark Costello, the Good Time Fellow, he's a really great guy, and he's very funny, and he's knowledgeable in something that Ming and I have kind of a curiosity about. It's the music industry. His father owned Kramer Guitars, so he's got some excellent rock and roll stories. behind the scenes and what Van Halen's really like, you know, and what Valerie Bertinelli's really like. So it's like, yeah, let's capitalize on that. And boom, he fit in perfectly with us. So.
Yeah, I also said that's how I have an interview show. So I rely, actually, I've built my audience through other people's audiences. That's the great thing about it. If you find a good podcast that you enjoy, ask them, bring them in. Sounds like that's the key here to really grow, is to get involved with other podcasts.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It is.
So, question.
Actually, I have a question for Gary. If one of your guys doesn't show up, do y'all still go with the show, or do you just
it happens all the time. Usually, I'll get one of these guys to help fill in, and, you know, I mean, like he was at Disney World recently. We went out without him, and yeah, you can't just stop because one of the guys can't make it. There has to be that understanding that we're going to keep on going, you know?
Yeah, we usually will try to bring like a guest or like one of our friends on, or we'll try to line up an interview for that episode.
Yeah.
I'm with the Prospero Radio Podcast with Mark next to you, and we always run into conflicts of schedule. I work overnight. One guy works till 6 o'clock sometimes.
I would say you're right. The hardest thing about doing a podcast is scheduling.
At least when you have more than one person.
I mean, we do have fun with it being the three of us. We joke around a lot, give each other a hard time. But
what about you guys? Y'all guys ever run into scheduling conflicts when y'all record?
Oh, hell yeah. He goes to, when did you leave for this?
I love Houston so much, and Cowboys, I came 3 days ago.
Yeah, we love
Houston. The mayor of Houston is not here.
And we're happy you're here, but you don't have to suck up.
So we have the opportunity to pre-record. So we pre-recorded both. Did we pre-record anything this week?
We will.
We will.
Oh, we were supposed to drop on Thursday, man. Yeah, so
does anybody else pre-record? Or do you got to do it weekly and just wing it? Hopefully you catch up.
We read the comics every Wednesday.
So you're kind of stuck on a schedule.
You sort of have to, yeah.
We've done a real quick turnaround.
But we've done it a few times, only when we knew that we're not going to be able to get together for a couple weeks. But we'll like record two at a time or something. But we want to try to still keep the topics timely. So
yeah, because I'm fortunate. I can load up on like 10 or 15 interviews because they're different topics, and I can just drop them when I'm out of town. So and then you guys probably can do the same thing because you know you're traveling quite a bit, so you can know ahead of time.
Yeah. For the most part, we're on the schedule. Yeah. We usually record every Thursday afternoon.
And Friday morning.
So, even more important than you know all the technology, you gotta find a reliable partner. You know, someone that won't bag out too often. You know, it's gonna happen, but find someone reliable.
Yeah. So we started off with one guy doing one thing with his Guitar Hero plugin. How have you seen your podcast grow? Because I'm looking around, I'm blinded by the R2D2 lights over here. We got a guy on camera for some reason. So we got microphones. How have you seen it grow, and how can you control the growth without going bankrupt?
I don't know.
We started real small. You know, we were big fans of Mike and Ming, big fans of Brian Johnson and Tom, Steve, Dave, and listening to those shows week in and week out is something I really wanted to do. He had no interest in it. It took a lot of pushing and prodding to get him to want to come and talk in front of a microphone. But
blackmail.
Once he tried it, he fell in love with it. And what we did initially is we went and we bought just a basically startup box, a podcasting startup box. It's an audio box USB from PreSonus. It's like a little two-channel mixer with a USB plug into your laptop, a pair of headphones, and one microphone that is omnidirectional. And we just sat in front of it and talked initially. We did that, and our first few episodes were not the best sound quality, but they were pretty funny. I mean, it took us a while to get the groove going and kind of figure out what we were doing. But we got on new and noteworthy, like I said, and we got, I don't know, 150 listeners right off the bat. Some of those people have stuck around the entire time. One of those guys is so loyal, he fell in love with the character that Miguel created and draws a weekly comic strip based on the character that he created in the thing. And I'm sure some of you who listen may have actually seen the Horse Minions comic. It's pretty funny if you've never checked it out. But word of mouth, I mean, that's what it is, building these relationships with all these other podcasters. You go on their shows, you go on other people's shows, you meet people on Reddit, you meet people on podcasting forums, you meet people on the podcasting groups on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You get invited to go on other people's shows, you do it. You never say no. That's one of the things you have to do is never say no, and you have to never be afraid to go out there and ask people to help support you or to come on your show.
I think as long as you're willing to talk to everybody and that you don't have a sense of apprehension about that, you can do all kinds of blowing yourself up without spending a dime. Yeah. Just talk to everybody.
Hey, everybody has something that they geek out about, either be a comic book or science or whatever it is. Just talk to those people and just have fun and geek out.
I think people are hesitant because they don't understand that it's so accessible. I mean, it's literally on your phone now. In fact, there's our apps you can get for 99 cents that'll help you out.
Yeah.
So have you ever tried to tweak your formats any? Because I once you find a format that works, you kind of want to stick with it. But have you ever gone out, like maybe do a live show or a panel?
Tomorrow.
Very first live show is for all three of us.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow. Yeah. So the show that I started, MSRcast, we played a lot more music originally. And when I got my new co-host, he's a super intelligent metalhead. So there was a lot more to talk about. And so we sort of changed the format from there. We play less music and do more discussion. And that's really been accepted well. People love it.
I think it's really just trial and error.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, you see what responds well and what doesn't.
And what we enjoy.
And that too.
You know, we've picked on George for a long time because we have a podcast that's metal in the name. Carrie and I, you know, met because we're metalheads and we're geeks and all that stuff.
And the least.
And this is the least metal guy. So we would pick on him, and so we decided, hey, maybe we'll do. We don't really do segments on our show. We don't really do it that way. It's like I said earlier, it's just kind of a conversation that we're having. But we decided maybe we'll have something akin to a segment, and we'll make George listen to a metal album every week.
And what is that segment called?
George Hates Metal.
George Hates Metal. George Hates Metal.
We got another question.
Actually, it's not a question. You guys said about the changing and everything. When we're now Rebel Radio Podcast, before we were only Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. And then we did it before, then we kind of took a break and came back. But we used to do like comedy little skits and stuff along with talking about stuff. But now we just mostly discuss movies and comedy and stuff and whatever we love, basically, you know, as in that realm.
In the back.
A question about topics.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to choose a topic for your podcast, maybe you have multiple ideas, is it better to try to separate those into different individual podcasts? Or you go to the other extreme, you just have one podcast that touches on a lot of different topics, but if I find a common thread to connect them,
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like for us, we are like a segmented show. We have categories and we announce them quickly before we start recording. One of the topics that we had at first was Toolshed. We were going to talk, the goal was to talk about the latest in tech, and it could just be like a variety, but stuff just in that topic. And we do have other topics and categories, but for us, the Toolshed ended up going away. We started focusing more on comic books, talking about them, reviews, stuff like that, and then conventions. So now Toolshed turned into comics and cons. And, you know, because we do travel, we do go to conventions and stuff like that. So in order to kind of keep your, and this kind of will answer it too, in order to kind of keep your show to a certain duration that you want to hit, because nobody really wants to... Why are you laughing?
Yeah, because our podcast goes anywhere from 59 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah,
it's
an
good average. Stuff. It's like a slice of fried gold.
We'll talk about
it. But yeah, so I mean, whenever you know your duration, you'll know whether how much time you want to spend in each category. Because if we have four categories, it doesn't necessarily mean we want to have four podcasts. We just kind of, you know, do some highlights and we'll talk. And that's the discussion part for us. We'll do bulleted items, and then we'll just, you know, touch on that, kind of get, you know, see what each other thinks about that, and that's about it.
One of the things, you can't please everyone out there, right. But if you're happy with your show and you please yourself, don't, that came out wrong, but...
Not on the show.
Not on the show.
But that's the YouTube show.
A different podcast.
That's a
sure,
YouTube
there is a
show.
Podcast out there just for that.
There probably is, but as long as you're happy with the end result, that's all that ultimately matters.
So how do you interact with your listeners? Because the giveaways is one thing, that's the brand. Yep. How do you keep them and then interact with them? You want them to be rabid and to spread the word. So how do you interact with them?
Very recently, we just started doing, I'd say within the past month or two, we took to Twitter and we started posting. We did a black and white shot of the couch and our two microphones. And we kind of used that as a staple image. So we'll hit Twitter an hour, maybe 30 minutes before, and we'll say, hey, we're about to record another live, you know, another podcast. Send your questions, comments, photos, whatever.
No photos.
No. We kind of do the same thing, but we use this new thing called Periscope, which is also owned by Twitter.
Yes. Yeah.
And they could people can physically see us while we're
mistakes
recording.
And all.
Yeah,
and that actually with you guys that draws.
Yeah, believe it or not, we didn't think we would get anything, and then before we knew it, we had up to almost 100 people watching at one
Dang.
Point.
Then you got to put clothes on and.
Yeah, doing a little strip tease in front of the camera. No, then we always say questions.
Anyone periscoping right now? No. See, you're missing out, people.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not. You're like the king of Periscope.
Yeah,
you and Reggie Watts.
Yeah, you're not here.
But yeah. I have to admit, I've watched Ming drive around a few times.
So I've done it in real time, and it's as equally thrilling.
I talked to Rudy Sarzo yesterday. He was periscoping at the show. So
yeah, so it goes to show you, periscoping is really like a thing of the future, and I really think it's going to take off a lot more.
I think people were waiting for that meerkat periscope fight to Xbox, you know.
I think Periscope won, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it has. It's won in the last month. So a lot of us are just regular folks and aren't very social savvy.
We want to try it eventually.
Question.
Yes. And what is the worst bit of advice that you've gotten when you started podcasting?
The worst advice?
Be yourself? No.
Brian Johnson told us to quit right away. And he continues to tell us to quit.
I see him doing that.
He is. He's actually, Brian's like our big brother.
He's jealous.
He is. He's pretty jealous. It's not enough that he wins. He's got to win by a large margin, and everyone else has to fail. So, you know, that's why I love this. I'm looking down here like, wow, this is pretty impressive. You know, we're all here to, like, bolster each other's shows and confidence. And, you know, that's what this is all about. We're all geeks. We're all nerds. We're all dorks. You know, I'm 47 years old. And I'm finally comfortable saying that.
The worst advice I ever got came from myself, and it was to worry a lot about what I was going to say every time and how I was going to present myself.
Mm.
Just chill out and have fun.
You can't worry about that, yeah.
Yeah, we have an episode 00 that we've never shared with the world.
Now you're gonna have to.
We're saving it, but we would go back. I went and listened to it recently, and you could tell we were both nervous. So, and even though there was no audience,
inside the nerd football,
the first segment to do for our show, and a guy at the comic shop that we're friends with, who's pretty funny, recommended that we do a act out a comic book, do like comic book theater kind of thing. Show, there's a really horrible acting out of Harley Quinn. We picked up an all-female cast, so he did Harley Quinn and I did Poison Ivy.
Y'all should bring that segment back.
I'll give you $12 for that.
We did it yesterday that you pay for porn, so.
Wouldn't be the worst $12 I've ever spent.
Throw that up on iTunes for $1.99.
There you go.
Please yourself.
Special episode.
Yeah, because like Doug Benson does that. He'll do a special episode for sale. Have you guys ever considered that? Is that something that the Smodcast does, exclusive?
There are some. Tell him Steve Dave does that every year for the Black, is it Black Friday?
Black Friday. Yeah,
they release a holiday special, which is chock full of sarcastic goodness. So, yeah, if you're a fan.
Our sister podcast, the Warp Cave, he's trying some original fiction he's going to do. He's releasing premium content for like $1.29. And so we're trying that and seeing how it goes with his fiction he wrote. He's releasing as an audio story. So it's an experiment. We're seeing how it goes.
So, the fiction thing, some of the big podcasts right now are sort of like radio shows, like fiction podcasts.
Yeah.
And I never imagined that to happen, you know?
Thrilling Adventure Hour is fantastic, and they've been able to raise money on Kickstarter to do pilots and make all kinds of money. And I think that's the one thing, I work in the business realm on my podcast, and I get a lot of people, they want, how do you monetize? Which I think is a mistake in some ways, because I think you worry too much about monetizing podcasts. So like you said, only a few of you are making money. That's why Adam Carolla was the only one fighting, because he had the money. Everybody else was shaking their hopes. So for someone who's just starting out and they have an idea, because I know some of you have stores and you have things that you can sell, how's the best way to monetize? And I know you guys have been doing that to some degree.
We're on Kevin's Smodcast Network, so he's the one who worries more about that than we do. We just try to put out content, and content that people won't vomit after they listen to. So that's...
So once again, find yourself a Kevin Smith.
Yes. Ride their coattails for all their work.
Justin.
Well, it's definitely possible to get money from your show. Don't think it's not, but it shouldn't be your primary focus. Your primary focus should be putting out a great show every week and doing it consistently. We got lucky a little bit because we built our Twitter following really quickly. We made it really important to get on social media and promote the hell out of ourselves. Got a really decent Twitter following, and then approached some smaller companies about supporting us. One of those was Tweaked Audio, a company that sells headphones, which works great with the whole podcasting idea. So when we partnered with Tweaked and we started promoting them on our show, we said anybody that buys anything, we're going to do a special bonus episode that's only available for you guys. And so what we did for months is I cut everything out of the show that was a blooper, just everything that was horrible, everything that was too bad that he said.
That's a lot.
So you didn't post any shows for a couple weeks?
Bunch of stuff that was just off the beaten path, like way too raunchy for the normal show or whatever. Yeah, ended up on the sidelines. Then we recorded a play-by-play thing of the bloopers, introduced each clip, and released that to our fans. And it's one of the funniest things we've ever done because it's just so horrible.
We had no lines.
Yeah, but I mean, we made decent money. I mean, all the studio equipment we have now, we have two laptops, we have good Shure microphones and a mixer and all that kind of stuff. We've come a long way from just doing the buy a box podcasting kit, and all of that was paid for entirely by our audience.
For us, it's not the podcasting directly that we've used to monetize and make a little money off of. It's working in conjunction, the podcast, what we do in social media, and our website. So the things that we talk about, a lot of those like Funko and Entertainment Earth and a lot of these other companies that are out there, t-shirt sites, mm-hmm. like T-Turtle, we talk about that stuff. That's the things we love, right? You got a T-Turtle on today. They have affiliate programs. So we talk about their stuff. We post it out. People go buy it. We get a little back. It's enough to cover our costs and then some, so we can go to a few cons each year. And we're happy with that right now. We hope to increase the audience and then directly increase our profit.
Affiliates is a real good way to go. I mean, it's out there. All you got to do, I mean, for the most part, all you got to do, sign up, you know, make sure you read a little bit and fill the form out. I don't know if a lot of people take enough advantage of affiliate programs. It's a good way to, like he said, cover the costs, you know, or help with the costs.
Yeah, don't tell anybody outside this room.
We'll have to cut that whole section out.
Stuff counts as monetizing too. So when they send you t-shirts or mm-hmm. loot crate boxes, counts. You don't have to put it on your taxes, but it counts. Yeah.
Right. Also being a chance to go places and do things that you wouldn't have to do. I mean, I get asked to go to conferences all the time for free, so and that helps out. It's a nice little added bonus.
Even as little stuff as Comic Palooza. Yeah. I'll get to attend this press and get to do all kinds of special stuff here because of it.
And I'm hosting a whole bunch of other panels too. You get to meet folks. So it's not always cash in hand situation. Right. It's all about what you want out of life too, behind you.
Yes, I'm actually just starting a podcast. We've had probably 20 episodes or something. It's called Nerds Explain It All. Everyone should go listen.
What is it?
Nerds Explain It All.
Huh? Twitter. I think you guys liked the show. So I'm kind of new to this whole podcast today. I got like three or four friends, and we've been friends since high school. We talk about stuff all the time, so we figured, we'll just start recording whatever. So would you guys recommend getting a website as well to go along with your podcast? Or is
doesn't hurt.
I want to handle this one. When Steve and I first started, Steve was that one who came up with the idea of doing the podcast for Nerd Food, and he was really pushing it. And I said, I don't even want to talk on a mic. I hate the sound of my own voice. Now I won't shut up. But
very true.
I was like, well, if we're going to do that, let's make it a whole thing, and let's do the website also. And the two feed each other directly. Some people literally listen to podcasts, and then they'll kind of trickle into the site. Vice versa, people come to Facebook, Twitter, our website, and then by virtue listen to the podcast. So do both.
Well, Ming is the webmaster for Smog, correct?
Yes.
So you're the expert. That's great. What can you add to that?
It definitely doesn't hurt. It's a great place to list your episodes. It's another avenue for people to go and listen to your podcast. So I mean, if you have time to do it, you got someone who can do it, and it's really not that hard. And not that expensive either.
Yeah, especially with WordPress.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you just sign up for WordPress. You sign up for the free version first, and then pay later. You can do that with it. Definitely just another way to make it easy for people to listen.
And branding is important too.
Yeah, especially it's another way you can find who was actually listening. Because you were about to say
I built my website on Google's Blogger. It's completely free, and legally you're not supposed to change the code, but Google doesn't care. So I manipulate the code to make it look professional. And
hopefully Google does not listen to this particular episode.
It'll shut down by tomorrow.
Right, probably.
Google's everywhere, didn't you know?
Where the hell did my website go?
Kill the feed.
All I pay for is a URL every year. That's it. That's like $8 through GoDaddy or whatever. You know?
So, to answer your question, yes, it's kind of important.
Yes. I mean, even through Facebook, I found like posting other news stories and at least commenting on it, other people, as long as the more stuff you generate, the more you're instead of just copying and pasting things.
It's constant self-promotion. Yeah. That's what being a podcast is all about, is constantly self-promotion.
Look at me, look at me.
And can't stress networking enough.
Yeah. 10 cents for that.
Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
Well, one of the things about a website that's so good about it is that you can actually start figuring out who is actually listening. How do you guys figure out, because if you're on iTunes, they don't give you any information, just so you know that. If you sign up for iTunes, it's a great way to get your podcast out there, but you have no idea who's listening to it or how many.
Oh, wow.
So what's a good way of, how are you tracking your numbers and also figuring out who your core audience is?
We actually host our show on our own server.
Oh, wow.
And we track everything through Blueberry.
Okay.
They have a free tracking program that... it gives you some stats and some data, but you can pay $5 a month for a better one that allows you to see where people are listening and who's listening and how frequently and just a lot more info. It's blubrry.com. So if you're going to host the show yourself, that's a really good place to start. I know if you go with Libsyn or SoundCloud or any of those kind of
hosting
services, they provide that service for you.
It's not great all the time, though.
Yeah. I can't speak to how detailed their stats are, but Blueberries are great. I really like them.
Does anybody else keep, how are you guys keeping track of your...
All I have to upload to SoundCloud, so you can get pretty good numbers, 20 numbers from that. But I think more importantly, we have the advantage where we're going around the country to conventions. People will come up and tell us that.
Plus you have a big head TV show that helps.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. You have a pretty nice lead-in. I'll give you that.
It doesn't hurt. But I think even better, you actually get people actually coming up and... telling you how much they enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, that's the best feedback we've ever gotten, is like face-to-face, so.
And so how are you using the information that you're getting? Once you know that you've got listeners out, are you then changing your show to adapt to the people that are listening? Are you just trying to do better what you already think they want?
We joked about the fact that we weren't getting very many listeners in the South, and Miguel said we needed to ramp up the racism.
You throwing a couple y'alls?
But
play up your accent.
Yeah, there's different things you can do. I mean, I don't think we really try to change the show for getting better stats or whatever. I think it all just comes down to word of mouth and self-promotion on how you interact with people on the different sites and the forums and that kind of thing. That's what brings you listeners. It's not really catering to people. You can't do that. You have to do the show for yourself. And if people like it, great. And if they don't,
we know what you're thinking. Yeah, we know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
They don't like it earlier. No, they
can do. I think a lot of newbies, when they see their numbers not up, they think they're doing something wrong, and they'll try to change. And I wanted to bring that.
One of the things.
If you have 50 people listening to you, that's amazing. That's 50 people that want to hear what you have to say about anything.
Don't let the numbers control what you do, because the more you look at it and I'm not getting what I want, it doesn't really matter. You have 5 people listening, that's enough.
Yeah. As long as you're making a show that you're happy with and you have something to say, I mean, that's all a podcast really is that you have something to say and you're putting it out there. So
make your friends
listen. Make your friends listen.
It's more about promoting than it is changing your content to fit something. It's more about making sure people know that you're there doing it.
Yeah, because that's also another hard for a lot of folks is you were talking about how you couldn't stand listening to your voice.
Yeah.
Well, imagine not being able to listen to your voice and then you have to tell everybody to listen to that voice. What were some of the hang-ups that you had that you were able to overcome that really helped your podcast?
I think the name of our show deters a lot of people from listening because it has metal in the title. But we don't always talk about metal. We do, but we talk about other things that are geeky. And we try to reach out to a lot of guys and bands and musicians that are metalheads that listen to metal all the time, play in bands, but they geek out on stuff. Hey, we'll talk about your band for 2 minutes, and then we'll have you come on and just geek out about Spider-Man with us for an hour. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, disclaimer, you don't have to like heavy metal to like our show.
That's true.
Yes.
You can always listen to my voice. I'm the least metalhead on the show. Although I do like all kinds of music.
I think for us, it's we're very general. We talk about so many different things. If we did a second podcast, which we've talked about doing before, I would want to pick something very niche. Talk about a certain gaming type or a certain something. It's because people are out there searching for podcasts on their favorite subjects.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the second word in our actual name. So hey, it's the F you guys. Well, how you doing, bud? It's just foo.
We're very niche to begin with. We're, like I said, trying very hard to focus on comic books, and there's a lot of comic book podcasts out there. So standing out is hard. Like I said, the new Noteworthy was tremendous in getting us on there, and then we've made so many connections through all the artists and writers we've had on the show. getting promotion through them. We actually just did a deal with Oni Press that any number one they have coming out, they're sending the writers to us to be on the show. So it's all about making connections, and that's how you get bigger, and that's how you get, you know, more listeners. You just want to put out as good a show as you can and be consistent. I think that's the most important thing. You want to keep the quality the same and release an episode at about the same time every single week.
So for those of you who do have guests on, I think a lot of people are intimidated by, they don't think they can get the people on, and I think they actually can. Is there a trick, or is there something that you do that you can, that you use to introduce ask. Yourself to get the, to ask people?
Yeah.
Facebook helps a lot, believe it or not.
Yeah, through Facebook.
The worst they can say is no.
Yeah, I know that, but is it?
Or not some anything.
People, yeah.
Well, a guest doesn't have to be famous either.
That's right.
Exactly.
We've got our intern here, Carl. He's been a guest on our podcast a couple of times.
Hey, Carl. Yes. And then he actually, I mean, we, you know.
I haven't, though. What's up with that?
Oh. Yeah. Sully will take this one. Sully. But, yeah, no, he's right. I mean, they don't have to be famous. I mean, if you're just starting out, don't be afraid. If you know somebody, maybe they don't want to record the whole show with you. Maybe they just want to come on and, you know, just chime in on whatever you're talking about. So it doesn't have to be famous.
Yeah, I'll just touch on that's really good stuff. The guy we've been taking talks about, our intern right there, he works with us. He came on the show. He's a minion. He has a number, and people follow him. He's got a bunch of followers just for being on our show. I've gone on other people's shows. I've gone on his show, and that was probably one of the most downloaded on his other show he does by himself.
You remember that stat, right?
That's all you...
He knows the numbers.
We don't care about numbers.
No, but we asked some of the artists, and we start off with some small artists, and because of them, word of mouth. Hey,
you just gotta start somewhere. The very first guy we had on our show was a small press guy who just started his own company called Awesome Comics out in California. And we had him on. He knows a bunch of industry people, so he was like, hey, I have a friend who you might want to have on who's got a new comic coming out. So we talked to him. He had an image book that came out, and then that cascaded into more image writers, which cascaded into more Marvel writers, which got us to deal with Oni Press. And it's just cascades. I mean, you just gotta find somebody who's in your niche that you want to have on the show and reach out to them and say, hey, please come on. Most people are willing to say okay.
And we got Meg and Michael, they'll definitely come on now that they've been here, right?
Oh, we're horse, so yeah.
Doesn't hurt the promotion. So.
Now, does anybody do interviews? Most of them seem like they'd be face-to-face, but have you tried other technology to do interviews?
Skype.
Although Skype can be a
problem, it's a little problematic.
It is. Yeah,
we have recorded just ourselves over Skype from time to time as well. If we can't all be in the same place at the same time, we're
now,
just us on
well,
Skype.
Now we have two separate computers. One runs Skype and one actually does the recording. We have a mixed minus set up, so it's a lot better now than it was before, but... And thanks to Justin for helping with that one.
Yeah, McMinus is definitely the way to go if you're going to be doing Skype interviews. And I don't want to go into all the technical stuff about that, but if you are going to do Skype interviews, look up McMinus and how to set it up, because it'll get you the best quality.
Yeah. Also, if you're not too concerned about it, sometimes phone calls can be much better on Skype than actual connecting another Skype person.
If it's a landline. If it's a cell phone, it'll sound like trash.
You have to have, you can't do Wi-Fi on your laptop. You have to plug that hardwire in or you're going to have problems.
A lot of the interviews that I do for the Heavy Metal Podcast are through the phone because that's the way the musicians do interviews. And the quality is not always there, so right. You have to play with it, but the content is always there, and you know, you just have to. I have this old Radio Shack adapter that plugs into your phone and record, and the other end plugs into an MP3 recorder, and that's it.
What's Radio Shack?
I don't know.
You know the place where you get batteries in the hall? Oh, okay, yeah.
There's also Google Hangouts.
Exactly.
I've been on quite a few Google Hangouts where not only do you get the benefit of you can use the audio for something like SoundCloud or iTunes, but you can also put it on YouTube right after.
You can do lower thirds and, you know, brand it a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. You can make it look like a newscast.
Yeah.
So do we have any questions from anybody here?
Don't be shy.
Is there too short in duration, too long in duration?
We wouldn't know.
I do two different shows. Comical is about an hour to an hour 15 every single time. And then the Just In Case show that I do is about 15 to 20 minutes. I found that the Just In Case show is actually more popular than Comical. But I think that's mostly because it's a broad variety of topics. And it's something that anybody can listen to because it's a random scenario. That's what the show is about. Comics, like I said, are very niche and it's a very competitive market. But as far as duration, I think anything up to an hour, most people will listen to. An hour is about what most people's commute is.
Yeah.
At least mine's like two. But, you know, an hour is about the right number.
Yeah, because the average commute is 26 miles. That's 52 each way, so an hour.
Yeah.
That's why some people like to do less than 30, like you're doing that 20, so they can listen to two.
Right.
Or they listen to one in two parts. But also, Don't be afraid to go long. This is a long content format.
But you don't want to ramble either.
You don't want to ramble.
Some shows go on for 3 or 4 hours and it's just like...
Yeah, that's way too much.
People's concentration will break.
Yeah, look down here. We got ours.
Comics is awesome.
So, how did you decide on the length? Do you get feedback on that? Is that the one feedback where you're like, well, we are maybe going too long?
Well, I did a whole lot of research before I started the shows. I went out and I read all kinds of advice from different people that have started up. And there's tons of people willing to give you advice on the internet. You go out there and read that stuff. Or, you know, anybody at this table, you can email us, tweet us, whatever. We'll help you out. We'll tell you what we know.
Sure.
It's a real positive community. The podcasting community in the world is just so helpful. And, of course, there's, you know, black spots on that. But most people are willing to help.
That's just on this end of the table.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, how many podcasters are in the audience right now? Raise your hands.
So another
We didn't raise our hands. Wait a minute.
I thought it was obvious.
So another thing a lot of people kind of worry about is how much post they're going to have to do. So, you know, editing. And some people don't edit at all. They think they can just let it all hang out. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's very bad.
How much editing do you guys do?
Some people put music and all kinds of stuff. So as far as post-production. Yeah.
We actually go, we go live and we go without a net. So, anything.
That's awesome.
And here's two guys who, actually three of us, who don't censor ourselves. And I think that's key too. Never censor yourself, unless you're a racist bastard.
Well,
that's all I'm gonna say.
How much editing do you have to do for him?
I do a lot of editing on comic. I'm comical, I can't lie. That show I put somewhere between 2 to 3 hours on each episode.
And how long is an episode?
Episode's about an hour.
So you're not only you're doing the hour, you're doing 2 or 3 posts as well.
Right, right. We have a great intro. My wife is actually a performance musician. She writes all of our music for our shows. And I go through the show and find a funny little clip to put at the beginning. I think that's a good way to kind of entice people to listen to the show or give them at least something to start out with a laugh. And then I put the episode in and make little tweaks, cut out any dead space or any ums, because as much as we try to eliminate all the ums and you knows, it's still there. You know, you'll never completely get rid of it.
You don't have to edit every single one.
You don't have to edit every single one. It adds to the flow of the conversation.
We'll edit out technical problems. But other than that, if we flub, we flub. And
but you're also doing music as well. You've got some bands every once in a while.
On the MSR cast.
Yeah, yes. Metal Geeks is, we don't really play music at all.
Yeah,
so.
So when you do have the MSR cast, is that something that
that's the heavy time? That's a heavy editing one. So, because I record every single segment and just piece it all together at the end and save it out. Actually, let's talk about your editing styles. How do you guys edit?
They don't.
Our style is, we have no style. So
when you put stuff together.
I use Audacity, and it sometimes can be a pain, but you kind of learn to work with it. And I don't do a ton of editing either. I might edit in our intro. I've got some promos. I actually have one from them. They recorded for me last year, and I'll throw the promos in there and edit together, and that's about it. I like Justin said, sometimes you get some dead space, and you pause, and you're like, okay, what were we talking about? Might take that out, but I try not to do a whole lot of editing. I mean, along with that, it's a hobby. We also have got 2 children and family things to do too, so you try to get it up and do it quick as you can.
Sometimes things just go wrong. We interviewed a guest here at the con yesterday, and we were in the middle of talking to him, and he just went, and he's like, oh shit. He's like, please,
I meant to apologize about that.
I do all my editing in Adobe Premiere, which is video editing software. I just find it so much easier for me because that's what I do at work. So it's just easy to do it, take the video away from it and just use the audio portion of it.
Do it at work, though, I promise.
No, I don't.
Yeah, for NerdFoo, we use GarageBand, which I do not recommend. But we also don't have time. I mean, we would rather be producing more content and putting more posts on our website. So I spend no more than 15 minutes. I can drop quick audio clips in, put the music at the beginning and the end, maybe cut out a little dead space. If it goes really awry, we just can the whole thing and record a new one a few days later.
Yeah.
I use an old copy of Audition from 2001.
Wow.
Because it works.
I use Audition to help out the audio.
Yeah, we won't upgrade GarageBand.
No, I'm not upgrading anything, but it works. And one of the things you can do is make templates. You set it up, and all you do is you pull out the new content for the new episode. So it's really the hard part is setting up the template. But once that's in place, Now you know all you have to do is move things around, and it's a lot easier. So it can be very quick, simple, very quickly once you get it all set up.
Sounds like a dream.
Well, GarageBand has it. You know, in an ideal world, GarageBand has a lot of excellent, you know, features and functionalities there.
He doesn't do the editing,
but I see what he goes through for the most part sometimes, and it's just like, well, it's nice on paper. But
I'm on a third or fourth laptop?
Yeah. Apple doesn't make them like they used to.
We use Audacity because it's free. You can do almost anything you want to do with Audacity. There's some limitations, sure, and sometimes things happen where it doesn't record or it crashes. Sometimes it locks up the computer.
I think bottom line here is just don't make mistakes. Just go perfect every time.
Save regularly.
That's great advice.
While you're working.
I was going to ask you, for those that use the laptops, because I mostly use a laptop, but I'll use my Zoom. Because I do a lot of mine in person when I'm on the road. How do you avoid, because I've never had it happen. I've done hundreds of episodes. I've never had a major crash. But all I hear about online is right in the middle of my interview, it crapped out on me. What have you done as far as backups or once you get all that stuff so you make sure you have an episode to put up?
Well, when we're recording, we do it through, we have two laptops. So we have one for Skype only and one to record. That's what it makes mine set up, what my mixer is. So we'll record on the laptop, but we also record to a task cam, something like this. We have a DR05 that we just run the mixer straight into, so we have redundant recording just in case something fails. It's easy, it's the best way to do it. It was something that I learned after a couple of failed ones where things did go wrong. And sometimes stuff just goes wrong. There's nothing you can do about it. And you can't blame yourself too much. We did an interview with somebody that talked on a cell phone and it sounded horrible. And I spent 14 hours trying to fix his audio enough so that people could hear it.
Ouch.
And the episode still came out sounding like shit. And there was just nothing I could do about it. It's just the way it is. I mean, mistakes are going to happen. It's a trial and error kind of hobby. You know, the more you work at it, the better you'll get. And always be willing to ask people for help, because most of us have gone through one kind of fiasco or another.
You listen to any podcast. I listen to Nerdist regularly, and they have a couple that they had to can because the sound quality was horrible after the fact.
I've talked to a couple myself. It's one of those where if it doesn't sound good, it's my name on the show.
Yep.
As a guest, I don't want to be. I've been guests where they put up, it sounded awful.
Yeah.
And you wonder why, and it's just they feel the need to get content out. So how many of you have pulled multiple episodes? Because we know there's a 00 out there somewhere, James Bond.
I've pulled plenty of episodes. I mean, doing a one-man show, it gets really awkward sometimes when you're just in a room talking to yourself. And I've had episodes that just sound completely off.
Doctor.
Like, the worst stuff. Like, I even look at myself like, I can't even believe I said that with a drunk high. Like, what happened?
Well, that happens a lot. The funniest stuff you put out.
My question specifically for you then is, how do you know that this one is not good? Because if you have a situation like where he's like, oh, my voice sucks... I've got hundreds of episodes. I think my voice sucks on all of them, but I just keep going. I let other people tell me it sucks. When they say it sucks, then maybe it might be. But how do you figure out as a one man
that
you
go? I'm very hard on myself too. Like, I strive for consistent and perfection. And like we've talked about, for a good show, you need to be really consistent. And what helps me is, and just learning through this process is, I come up almost with like a script, but a more of a detailed outline. That way it cuts out the ums, it cuts out my stuttering, cuts out like me just kind of like, okay, let's talk about this. Like, it helps segue things, it helps get a smoother show. And I come across problems too, and now I bust out my trusty phone, and I've recorded plenty of episodes in my car just real quick, trying to get something out that way. And for some reason, I do really well in the car. I guess it's just because I'm trying not to die while driving. I mean, don't record and drive. Park. That's what I meant to say. But
get you a guy
to drive bride.
The drive bride. And then it's the bride die.
There's only one episode.
It's very short.
It's very short and loud.
Posted, right?
It sounds like a new show in the works for you.
Yeah.
You and your car, Bride Fi and his car.
Driving the bride.
Well, I think I can branch out to like 8 different episodes. That's the beauty.
It's Brian the evening.
Ryan with a lot of stuff. I've been called Bri Fry a lot, so I think I'm going to start frying food while I like podcast.
You can get Mike and his wife.
There we go.
A crossover. We only have a few moments left. Is there any other questions?
Actually, I have a question. Did anybody record y'all's program video and put it on YouTube? And if you do, do you see any benefit from that?
That's next for us.
Next.
I've done a few, and some of it, I get some hits in it. It boosts my ego when I see that. That's definitely one thing. It, but for me, the way I do my podcast now, it's really hard for me to take the time to do the video, put that out with the audio. Like, I actually use, for my recording and editing, I use Sony Vegas Movie Editor, and it actually does really well for audio stuff. And it, same thing as Audacity, I can put out different file types, so I can shrink the file types that I need to. And in fact, I can just lay video on top of my recording. And so I can actually knock that out, mm-hmm. and then just take the video away and then upload my podcast record. So it's actually really nice.
So, well, I guess we can announce it now. These guys and Justin, we just started, just got a show on Newsfix, which it's on their online website version. They did a weird story on like geeky culture and podcasting on me a few weeks ago, and they offered me to do a show. So we have a new show that just started Saturday called Adventures in Geekery, and we've been recording a lot of stuff for that this weekend and especially today. We had Mike on there yesterday. But we want to share the love on that show. We'll have other guests and stuff come on. But it's like, you know, you can only do so much in a 4-minute span of time, you know, compared to like an hour.
We're on TV.
You guys are on TV all the time. Your production values are slightly higher than the rest of us.
How's that name seem?
Extremely higher.
How was that transition when you know that you've been talking all this time and now you know there's a mic on you, camera on you? Has that been something that you had to adjust to, or you just don't care?
Oh, that was a long time ago, and I mean, you adjust really, really quickly. You know not to pick your nose, and but the trick was, and Ming will back me up on this, was turning off the microphone when you're like talking about the AMC bigwigs. Like, that guy's a jackass.
You're in there taking a leak, like do 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 do, and it's like, you're okay, corroding. Yeah, they call that Robert Durst syndrome.
Yes.
Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. We got 2 minutes left. Real quick, I want each one of you, as we go down the line, real quick, 30 seconds apiece. What has podcasting done for you personally? Not necessarily professionally, but personally.
I've gotten to meet a lot of cool people, friends, everyone up here. I've gotten to meet. Now I got faces, which is great. It also is confidence. I feel more confident talking to people now. Like, it's really helped in that sense, just doing a podcast.
You touched on the important thing with friends. I've made a lot of friends just from doing this show, and I would have probably never met before that.
You're welcome.
I've gotten to interview some people that I greatly admire and respect. Plus, I get to hang out with my best friend all the time, which is the best thing. We get to do the show.
All right, hug it out.
It's a great experience. You know, if you haven't tried it, it's something you're thinking about doing, all I can say is definitely do it. It'll enhance your life in so many ways. It'll give you an avenue to get your voice out there and talk about the things that matter to you, whatever that might be. And you know, you'll make more friends from it, and you'll definitely learn things.
It is work, though. There is work that needs to be.
I'm prepared for that.
Well, I met a lot of great people. I enjoy talking to people. My wife likes it because I'm out of the house the whole time. I don't know what's up with that, but I get to act like an idiot.
Oh, well.
The real idiot, the real Miguel, gets to come out.
Okay. Sully?
I agree with these guys. Just getting to hang out with Steve on a regular basis, we always know there's that one time a week we're going to get to hang out and talk nerdy.
Same conversation.
You've already spoken.
Friends.
This is the reason I moved to Houston like 4 years ago, and this is the reason why I know anybody in Houston. Yeah.
The only reason I got into podcasting because I was a big fan of Kevin Smith's Smodco Network and Nerdist and whatnot, and I always wanted to try it. And me and Carrie were coworkers, and I was like, "Hey, what are the chances of me showing up on the show?" And I said, I could promise.
How long did I try to push you away from that?
I don't know. It was for a long time. But
I have a co-host now, and you're like, oh, just come hang out.
And it's just really just to hang out with my friends and talk about cool stuff.
Same reason some of these guys. Meet cool people. Brian said, I'm very shy, but I've got my confidence up. And I get to do my show with my best friends, too.
You guys?
No, I have a podcast.
Last word to you guys.
I have a podcast. You can reach out to Ben every week. I like to call it free therapy. But I think Michael agreed with me. You know, the TV show we have is great. You know, it's a lot of fun. But podcast is something that it comes from our hearts. It's something we do from the beginning to end. You know, we control every aspect of it. And that's the great part.
Free porn.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All right.